Greetings, my friends, on this wonderful Palm Sunday, our last Sunday in Lent. Oh, how I miss seeing you and getting hugs and just checking in. But I am so thankful that we can worship together this morning. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. I want you to listen for the word of God speaking just to you. This is about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on this wonderful Sunday. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside a street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they were allowed to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This ends the reading of the word, so please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word on this glorious day that you have given to us. Open our hearts to hear your words and to be your light. Grant us the mind of Christ as we listen and learn from you. Amen. Just imagine the excitement on that day when Jesus came riding into the city, the palm branches being waved and the cheering of the crowd. Children running alongside, such joy and happiness. But if you have heard Jay say during this period of Lent, it is a season of reflection and preparation before Resurrection Sunday, which is coming. Easter is coming. We have talked about this season as being a time of fasting for some people, but also a time to reflect on our relationship with our Heavenly Father and add new practices to our daily life, to set goals for ourselves, and to help those in need. With that said, how's your homework going that Jay's been giving to you each week? Having homework reminds me of being in school, and do you sometimes need to be nudged along to doing your homework in a timely manner? Or do you wait like I do to the last minute? Well, time is now for us to really work on our homework. Because you know what? Homework assignments are always for our benefit. Let's spend a few minutes and recap some of the practices that Jay's been helping us with during this season. Week one. Stop and Sabbath. Be still. Be quiet. Spend some Sabbath time. Rest. Do you find that hard to do? Sometimes I just can't seem to stop my brain. But really, what I need to do is focus on God and be grateful. Oh, so grateful for the many blessings. Then the second week, And let's be honest here, when Jay used this term, Lectio Divina, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, I was like, what? And then he shared with us that it was about reading Scripture. And I was like, well, I love to read God's Word. So I sat up a little bit straighter and said, look at me doing this fancy word here. Have you had a chance to really sit and read Scripture? Then we moved on to week 3. Oh, we were asked to extend mercy, which is really easy when we're extending mercy for people that we like. But it's often a little tougher for those that we really don't care for, or too often we judge as not needing it, not wanting it. They wouldn't appreciate it. Week 4, we were tasked with mindfulness, being intentional in our awareness. Wow, being intentional in our awareness, what we're doing, where we are. So that brings us to this week's practice, which is prayer. Prayer works. And if you're not sure about that, I want to remind you of the men's NCAA basketball that's going on right now. And Sister Jean. I know you've probably heard about Sister Jean on the news with the Loyola Chicago team. I'm just saying, she's been praying for them. I listened to one of her prayers. It was on target. It was very specific. But she told a reporter that last year, her prayers were to bring them into the Sweet 16. They did. This year, she made her prayer to bring them into the Elite 8 because she knew they were going to be trying a little bit harder. Clearly, prayer does make a difference. But Sister Jean was also aware of her prayer limitations, as I'm pretty sure she has an open, honest relationship with God. She walks with Him daily. You know, some days it seems like I pray all day long, just asking God to get me through this day and for me to remember that I need to show love and compassion in all situations. And I think He might be testing me on that homework. But I always consider it a privilege when others ask me to pray for them. Sometimes it's for situations they just can't seem to find a way out of. And other times it's for safety and timing. But it's always a privilege to pray for people and to talk to God. But sometimes those conversations can lead us to just talking about prayer. And then there's always that question, why don't we get the answer that we want? You know, we've all had prayers that didn't get answered the way that we wanted them to. So let's dig in for a few moments. You might want to open your Bible or click it on your phone or whatever and follow along to some of these verses. Because the first thing I want to talk about is, why do we pray? Scripture tells us to pray. In Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Every situation. Talk to Him. Okay, well then sometimes, when do we pray? Oh, in Matthew chapter 11, He tells us, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When do we pray? Whether it's first thing in the morning, all day, at night, whenever you pray, He wants you to come to Him, to tell Him your burdens, to lay your heart out. Okay, so now we know why we pray and when we pray, and then the biggie, how do we pray? Do you think we need a special place? I have one friend that has a prayer chair and another one that has a prayer closet. Other people have places they go, whether it's outside, walking around the lake. But I can tell you one thing, when my friends go into that prayer closet or they're in that prayer chair, the whole family knows, don't bother Mama now. She is praying. More than likely, she's praying for them, so they don't bother her. But Matthew tells us that Jesus said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. We have all the beautiful details. So what's holding us back from a rich prayer life, from walking with God every day? Is it because we don't think He really hears our prayers, or that we're not worthy, or because of our past, or because we don't get the answers we want? Or maybe I'm just too busy to stop and rest and be mindful. Or do you ever think, well, I know everybody else is praying for them. They got it covered. I don't need to. Yeah, I can see all those excuses in myself from time to time. But prayer is the opportunity to spend time with God. To really understand the heart of God, you need to pray. In John 15, chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, He no longer calls us His servants. He calls us His friends. Talking with God develops a deeper relationship with Him. You talk with your friends to learn about them. You get a new neighbor, you talk to them to learn about them. You, in class, you talk to your classmates, your workmates. You want to learn about them. So why not talk to God to learn about Him? Talk to Him just as you would any other person in your life. Communication is essential. We know that. But it's also so essential to strengthening your relationship with God. Most folks know the name Billy Graham, and you also may know his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, who lives here in Raleigh with us. Ann did a devotion about prayer that I want to share with you. She said, "What makes you and me think we can do without a personal prayer life? It's through prayer that we come into a personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do you long to have a closer relationship with God, but you don't feel worthy? Are you convinced you're a nobody and therefore would never be accepted, much less welcomed into His presence? Praise God, our entrance into His presence is not based on our own worthiness, but on the worthiness of Jesus Christ. When we enter God's presence in Jesus' name, we are as accepted by God as Jesus is, because God counts us as His own dear children. Jesus invites you and me in His name to come into His Father's presence through prayer. crawl up in His lap by faith. Put your head on His shoulder of strength. Feel His loving arms of protection around us. Call Him Abba, Daddy, and pour out your hearts to Him. He is our Father, and we can crawl up in His lap and put our head on His shoulder and pour out our heart, our Heavenly Father. Prayer can be one of the biggest struggles and yet our greatest source of comfort and joy. Prayer doesn't involve learning new techniques or mastering a script. God does not grade our heartfelt prayers. He doesn't expect perfection or brush any prayer away as being too trivial. Prayer is simply spending time talking to Him, listening for His love and guidance, and growing our relationship. When we struggle with prayer, we can always ask Jesus, as His disciples did, "Lord, teach us to pray." Too often, we don't even know what to pray. Sometimes I find myself in that position. "Lord, I don't even know what to pray for this situation." And it's okay to say just that, because He knows what we need. He knows what our prayer is. So when we don't get the answer to our prayer that we want, we need to remember that there is a perfect prayer that comes from a few words that's in the Lord's Prayer. And we repeat that so often, but yet we miss these four words: "Thy will be done." So then when our prayers are answered, whether we like it or whether we don't agree, we need to take the answer that He gave us, and we need to work and pray to be a light in that circumstance and situation, to understand our role in helping others by showing love and mercy in the difficult times. When we ask for complete healing and death comes. When we ask for partial healing and we don't get that, we can be a little bit upset, but we need to remember, what can we do to help people through those difficult times? Because as Micah tells us, what does the Lord require? The Lord has told us what is good, and this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with God through talking with Him. When we work on our prayer life, when we can't trace God's hand in a situation or in the answer, when we just don't understand why, we can always trust His heart. So I ask you to be as excited today as they were when Jesus came into the town. Welcome Him into your heart as they did. Hosanna. Peace be with you. Amen.